Christmas Eve. Oh, at our house, a lot of people open Christmas presents Christmas morning. Well, that didn't happen at our house. It was Christmas Eve. We opened all the presents on Christmas Eve. And all day, Christmas Eve, it was torture. I mean, just torture.
I can imagine. Little fidgety boy, what was present?
And I just wanted a motorcycle so bad. Anyway. And by this time I was in high school. And I saved up my money and bought a motorcycle jacket and the whole thing.
Look good, man.
And anyway. So, Christmas Eve. And I had this, it was a box about so big, it was heavy. And I thought, I wonder what that is. It was a heavy thing. And so I tore that package open, and it was full of magazines, which made it heavy. And just a note in there and said, I'm on the front porch. What? And I went out there and opened the door, and it was cold. Man, just nasty cold, you know. And there it was, Gloria.
What? What was it?
A Triumph Thunderbird. The motorcycle of motorcycles in my mind. I just stood there and looked at that. I went in there and got my jacket and got on that thing, and I rode that motorcycle 100 miles that night. I liked a frog. I just rode it in. Anyway.
Wow.
Well, my dad said, you know, if I could unzip your head, nothing but airplanes and motorcycles would come out. And that's right. And I haven't changed a whole lot.
You'll grow up someday.
Well, you know, well, I still have motorcycles in my garage. So here we go. Now, let's catch up here where we were yesterday. In that 76th verse. Now, this little boy, John, is being prophesied over. The 72nd verse, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember His holy covenant. Oh, did you get it? To remember His holy covenant. All this is happening because He remembers His holy blood agreement that He made with Abraham. Hallelujah. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. And thou, your child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways. Your child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of the salvation of His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring, now look that up, the day spring, or actually the sun rising, or the bright star, the light from on high, is the way that should be translated. For the light from on high to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel, or until he was 30 years old. So it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Well, 715 years after Micah said it, that this baby is going to be born in Bethlehem, all of a sudden, the decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed or enrolled. And this taxing was first made when Caesarius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house lineage of David. It is all working just exactly as God had said through the mouth of his prophets over the years. It's all right on time. Just like a well-oiled watch. I mean, this thing is just coming together. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Glory to God. So it was that while they were there, the days of her accomplished that she should be delivered. Now, may I remind you that poor people are not taxed? Did you notice there are no shepherds there? They don't tax poor people. Amen.
They tax people that don't have any money in our day and time, whether you got any money or not.
Sounds like it. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room at the inn. Why was there no room at the inn? Well, now, we know that they went there from Nazareth, right? It is 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They were slow. She's about to have this baby. So everybody got there before they got there. Right. Of course they did. Right. Because she had to be born in the shepherd's tower or manger. Now, to describe this, a birthing trough where the mother, the ewe, was, and they had to be very careful with her because she's the mother of a temple lamb, a temple sacrifice. And so the shepherds were very well, they were raised to do this and taught this. And you had to be you had to be picked as a shepherd to even have this job. And now you know why Jesus ripped that temple open and said, this is a house of prayer and you've turned it into a den of thieves.
Yes.
Because if you brought your lamb in and somebody examined it and said, no, this is not good enough, then they'd sell you one. And then they would take the one that they took away from you and sell it to somebody else. It was just a con game, just raising money. Anyway, and the swaddling clothes, once that little lamb, or once Jesus was born, then he was immediately wrapped in swaddling clothes, which was a tight-fitting garment made out of linen, and it was pure, very tight-fitting, so that little lamb couldn't jerk around and hurt himself. And so he was wrapped in that tight-fitting swaddling clothes. And so the first time, this then handed her. And so she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room at the inn. So now she wrapped him, and then she laid him in that little small manger. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, living in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel and a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let's go now even to Bethlehem and see this thing. It was, in studying this and reading, it was all of a sudden as bright as day. It just was bright as day. And then the angel made this announcement. Then all of the angels got involved. Now notice this. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You see Christmas cards about that and all the goodwill and all. Peace. Look at it. On earth, glory to God in highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The sacrifice, the war between heaven and earth is over. The sacrifice is in the earth. Goodwill toward men. Didn't say among men. Goodwill toward men. This war that's been going on, that the devil caused, that's been going on all this time, and you let your mind go back to the book of Job. And Job was an upright man. And the devil. Was in the earth. And he was in the earth with authority, because Adam had given it to him. And he's mean. Jesus said he doesn't come for anything except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's all he does. Well, it created such hardness on the earth. And men had little understanding about God. And they couldn't tell whether it was God killing them or what's going on. And the devil set out against Job for one reason only, because he was the richest man in the East. And God had blessed him to the point that he was the richest man in the East, and rich men, and he was righteous in the eyes of God, and a rich man with a lot of money and able to do what God's called him to do is really dangerous to the devil. And so he just set out to kill everything around him. And actually, he wanted to kill him. And he just came against him. But God said, and the devil said, he'll curse you to your face because you've blessed him. But there was a wall around him. There was a blessing wall built up around him, and the devil couldn't get through there.
Amen.
And the Lord said, you have access to him. Now, the only sin involved here was cursing God. That's what you have to remember that in studying the book of Job. And he said, he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said, all right, but you can't kill him. You can't have his, don't you touch his life. And all of these terrible things happened to him. And his wife did it. But anyway, she committed that sin. She opened the door to the devil that killed her children. But Job never would do it. He wouldn't curse him. Well, he stood the test, and he got back twice of everything. And lived to be an old, old, old man. Amen. A man of faith that wouldn't quit and wouldn't blame God for his problems. So, that shows us then, and as you study it through, once Jesus was born into this earth, I mean, the devil could pretty well tell his days are numbered. And so he came against him because it had been said to him in the Garden of Eden, your day is coming.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. There's coming one.
Yes.
That's going to put his heel on your head.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. And he set out to kill the prophets. He didn't know who it was going to be.
Right.
But then this baby's born, and some really strange things are happening just because these two babies are born.
Mm-hmm.
So he just set after John. And just set out after him to get him. But John stood up and said, no, I'm not him. I'm not the one, but there's one coming after me.
Amen.
I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. Amen.
Amen.
So you can see where, anyway, glory to God. Now, we're out of time again today. Whew, my goodness.
The clock just keeps ticking on.
Yeah, it does. Well, let's give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Papa. You know, when Jesus came into the world, He changed heaven and earth forever. He is the Christ. He is the Anointed One who brought the anointing of God into our world. And our partners, Gabriel and Evelyn Alexander, experienced this miracle-working power of Jesus.
My name is Gabriel Alexander. That's my wife, Evelyn Alexander. We have three children. And one of the things I love about our children, just the years that we've taken to pour into them. They were homeschooled, they went to Christian school. But when you could sit back and see how your children go after God, to see their real passion, that shows the authenticity of the relationship they have with Him.
When they were young, I went to him and I said, hey, I believe that the Lord would have us to really be purposeful about putting eternity in the hearts of our children. And that's when we found out about Super Kids. And now I thought, whoa, now when you go to the Believers Convention, the children are getting fed as well. We just kept coming year after year. Then they went to 1440 and continued year after year. And the more that they came, the more that their relationship grew with the Lord. And they now see the integrity of the Word of God. They understand that God's Word is true, is settled in heaven. And we can go all the way back to when we had to stand this to believe for the life of our first son, Gabriel. And they pronounced him dead in my womb.
She's in her first trimester, third month, and the doctor says,
it looks like the baby is dying.
Yeah, couldn't find no heartbeat.
And the response from him was the Word of God. Yeah. Immediately, you go to, what does the Word say? And he says, that's impossible.
Yeah, I said, doctor, that's impossible.
That's impossible.
We're tithers. I said, God is not a liar. Mm-hmm. He gonna honor His word. Mm-hmm. It is impossible. I don't care what that doctor say. Mm-hmm. So we took all the tests and he called us the next day and he said, well, I'd like for both of you to get on the phone. And when he did, he told us, he said, listen, all the tests come back. It's no doubt.
No, she said, the day before he said the baby is dying. And then when he called us, he said the baby has died.
He said, I said, Dr. H, have you ever, told a woman she was miscarrying?
And
then she wasn't?
He said, no.
I said, have you ever said someone miscarried and then yet the woman had a baby later? He said, no. I said, have you ever seen this situation turn around, change?
Yeah.
He said, in all my 30 plus years of practice, I've never seen nothing like this change. I said, we will be your first. So I knew then by the Spirit of God, I got to keep her built up in faith. I got to keep her encouraged. And we can't have no arguments. We went to the scripture about not miscarrying.
That's right.
We went to the scripture about the fruit of the womb being blessed. Amen. And we went to the Word of God.
And no matter what it looked like, no matter what it felt like, I felt the cramps, the bleeding, everything that they said would happen was happening. But I denied the right of it to continue.
Long story short is that we
won.
We stood the ground. We won. We told Dr. H that after the baby was born, is there any tests that you can do to let us know if this is the same baby? We need to know that.
And when we brought the baby back, he said, oh, I did get the results on that test. He said, there's only Singletary, one baby, and that's the one you're holding. And we have to change your records.
Yep, he told us he's going to have to go back in there.
He literally says, is a miracle. The most powerful thing that a believer can do is stand their ground. Most powerful thing, because when you get the manifestation, that manifestation speaks. And so now we are living in this beautiful moment of the baby that was declared dead graduated from Kenneth Copeland Bible College. So the miracle is still speaking. And so no matter who you are, what you're up against, it's worth the stand. And so it's a beautiful thing to see how our lives have flourished, our children's lives has flourished, our businesses has flourished, our church has flourished because of partnership.
Yep.
We are forever grateful for KCM.
There's nothing like music to put you in the Christmas spirit. Center your heart and thoughts on the gift of Jesus Christ and invite His joy into your holiday season. Presenting the 25 Songs of Christmas, a musical celebration of the season, December 1st through 25th. As you sing along with Kenneth Copeland and other artists, read the day's devotion, and unwrap your digital gift, your heart will be filled with the true joy and peace that Christmas brings. Visit kcm.org/25songs to sign up today.
Every Friday is Offering Day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. So I want to read to you again today from the book of Galatians chapter 6. Verse 6 says, "Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." You know, there are a lot of folks that might be critical of the message that you've either heard today or what we're doing right now and even receiving an offering. And they think, oh, that seed sowing thing, that's nothing. You don't listen to that. That's crazy talk. Well, listen to me. God sowed a seed. God sowed a seed and Jesus was that seed. Now, you've heard people say this too. Well, you don't give to get. That's just being greedy. Well, wait a second. What did God do when He gave Jesus? Did He just give, or was He expecting to get something? He sowed that He might receive a harvest. And what is the harvest on the seed that He sowed? It's you. You are the harvest of the seed of Jesus. Isn't that good? I mean, we're celebrating that right now. We are celebrating in this Christmas season the greatest seed ever sown. It was Jesus. And when you sow, according to this scripture, you can expect to receive. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Many of you watching right now, you're partners with this ministry, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know that your seed into this ministry has opened up a door of access for God to go to work in your life. You've seen it. You've experienced it. You're waving your hand shouting about it right now. I know you are. And listen, partners, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want you to know how much they love you, how much they appreciate you, and they're praying for you. You're never a day without somebody praying for you, holding you up in the presence of God, confessing the blessing of the Lord over your life, speaking increase over you, more and more, you and your children. And you need to know that your giving, your partnership, has helped people all over the world hear the good news of Jesus. People from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle, glory to God. And everything that is sent out of this ministry is made possible first by the faithfulness of God and second by the faithfulness of the partners of this ministry. For more than 50 years, the word has been preached, and now generations of families have heard this life-changing power of God. They've been touched. They've been changed forever. And as you sow your financial seed into the ministry, what you're doing is connecting or partnering with a ministry that is called to preach and to teach faith. So as you feed on this, you can expect that same thing to go on in your own house, that your own house becomes an atmosphere of faith in God and faith in His Word. Father, we thank You for the giving of the people today. We receive it and call them blessed in Jesus' name. Thanks so much for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.